focused sense. So James chapter 3. And again, this will just be about a 3 or 4 week study, I think, and then we'll probably start something else after that. So teens, sorry, you're only going to get on the entry discussion of this. But what I want to do for today's lesson is you have this sheet in front of you. I think everyone has a copy. Does anybody need a copy of this little handout? I think I put it off on the tables for each. If you want a pen, I have some extra pens up here too. You don't all have to write, but at least someone from the table maybe write down some things, because we're going to be sharing what you're going to discuss as a table on these questions. So you have here a series of questions based on the various verses, and just verses 1 through 6. So let's start there today. I'm going to turn there because I need to turn to James chapter 3 still. So James chapter 3, can someone please volunteer to read the first 6 verses, just verses 1 through 6. All right, Deb, go ahead. All right, thank you very much. So we're just going to focus on these 6 verses today, but you could already tell there's a real big emphasis here on the tongue, and there's different pictures that are given here too. So what I want you to do is, as a table, I want you to just walk through these questions based on each of the verses that are listed there, and I try to be very clear with which verse to focus on and where the answers will come from, but you can discuss this. And then at least one person per table write down an answer. But if you want this for yourself, feel free to write down things for yourself as well. But I want you to take, let's say about 15 or so minutes and to walk through this. We'll see if that's not enough time. But we'll start about 15 minutes or so and just walk through these 1, 2, 3, 4 different questions today, okay? So as a table, you can do this. Maybe someone take the lead in that discussion. You can walk through these questions as a table. So let's go ahead and we'll come together and we'll talk through these and share what our thoughts were. I titled this, the study, Watch Your Mouth. It kind of comes from a funny story from my brother's childhood, actually. I'll use him as an illustration this morning. I have one older brother, and the story, I don't remember this, but he has told the story and my mom has told the story before. There was one time when my brother was saying something to my grandma, I don't know what it was, but she told him, watch your mouth. And my brother tried to do it literally, pushed out his lips, you know, and he tried to watch his mouth. That didn't go over so well, as you can imagine. But so that's kind of where the title comes from, a little funny story there. But we use that term ourselves, right? You need to watch your mouth, watch what you say, watch your tongue. And this is an important subject, and this is something, again, that every one of us struggles with to one degree or another, in one sense or another. We all fight this in different ways. And again, James chapter 3 is a wonderful text to just remind ourselves and reorient ourselves, say, okay, this is what the scripture says. And there's some warnings here. There's some great pictures about our tongue, and there's some great teaching here, even just these first 6 verses. So let's start with number 1. So I said, read James 3:1, and I encourage you to read from different translations in this, especially, I think, in verse 1, because verse 1 As you read those different translations, you saw some different wordings. Some of the newer translations really help to smooth out the understanding of what James is trying to communicate here. And I said, what does James mean by the verse? What does it have to do with our speech? So let's start with that first question. What does James mean by verse 1? Okay, who wants to share first? Yeah, Marshall?
The more you know, the more you're accountable for.
Okay, the more you know, the more you're accountable for. Okay, good. Other thoughts there? You want to add to that? Yeah, Brian?
So we put it, Christ holds Christians to a higher standard. And if he holds Christians to a higher standard, those who are before the congregation as teachers are held to an even higher standard.
Sure, right, yeah. Yeah, the verses, yeah, Deb, go ahead. Yep.
NIV says teacher.
Yep.
I could see, you know, a young person thinking, oh, I want to be a teacher because they liked, you know, people in their life that were teachers and they thought, you know, it would be something they would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But and any of us, you know, we could think, oh, you know, this would be a good thing to do, but it's good that warning that there are consequences that
Right. Yeah, this is a weighty thing. I have New King James Bible and I have the ESV on my phone here, and the ESV says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, which I think is a good way of communicating that, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness or condemnation, as other verses say. The verse is not saying no one should become a teacher, right? The verse is not saying that. But the verse is saying you ought to think about this. There are certain people that want to be teachers or masters, as the King James says, but more likely more authority or verbal teachers of sorts. There are people who think, oh, that would be fun. I get to talk a lot and tell people what to do. Those are the kind of people that probably shouldn't be teachers, okay? Because that's not the right motivation. That's a selfish motivation. And James is pointing out here, there's something really significant to consider, because the more words that come out of your mouth, and teachers, even school teachers of that sort, they talk a lot. And of course, pastors do, or Sunday school teachers, or junior church workers. You know, you put this in different contexts like that, we talk a lot. We talk more than other people do. In our worship service, I generally say more words than you do in that context. So you get the point. And what James is saying here is not many of you should strive to be a teacher, because those people, there's a little bit more accountability that they have because more things are coming out of their mouth. And ultimately, we know from Jesus' words, where do the words come that come out of our mouth? They come from where?
Our heart.
So there is a connection there. And I know James doesn't say that explicitly like Jesus does. But if you pull that out, our hearts, what's in our heart comes out our mouth. Well, the more things come out of your mouth, the more your heart is revealed. And so as we are teachers, as we're seeking to teach, even parents, that can be applied to parents too. You're accountable for what you say and how you lead and how you discipline and disciple your children. And, you know, you're a parent. You can't help but be a parent, really, when you become a parent. But James is giving a teaching here. You really have to be careful. Not many of you, some of you should. But even that, you have to understand, there's more accountability that comes with being a teacher because, and this is why, this is that question, what does this have to do with our speech? Because we say more things, and we're more accountable for what we say. Let's go on to verse 2. What does James say is the relationship between controlling our tongues and controlling our bodies? Okay, what'd you put here? Verse 2, again, I get the right chapter. Verse 2, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Okay, what'd you put for verse 2? Thoughts? Yeah, Sherry?
I put that the tongue basically acts like a rudder. So if we're saying things that are not good, basically, the body's going to follow that direction.
Okay.
Whereas if we're in our speech, if our speech is more godly and more focused on the Lord, chances are then we're going to be better.
Okay, yeah, good. Other thoughts there? You want to add to that? Yeah. May, go ahead.
I was just, like we said, words, our heart controls what we say, and especially if we're angry or something, silence is I wish I should do that.
Yeah, good. Ray, what were you going to say?
Well, first of all, we know that we're not going to be perfect. There's only one man who made it through life without saying an imperfect word.
Right.
So I think what James is presenting here is the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Verse 2 is not saying, okay, there are some who are the perfect man, who don't say anything offensive, and they're perfect. It's not saying that there are some people who are like that, and other people who aren't. Because like Ray said, there's only one person who's never said anything wrong, and that's, of course, Jesus Christ. James starts off the verse, in many ways we all offend. And he's including the tongue. And he's making a hyperbolic statement, speaking
hyperbolically.
Thank you, hyperbolically. Okay. If any man does not stumble on word, that guy's perfect. He's able to control everything. And of course, yeah, that's what we're striving for, to be like Christ, ultimately, to have fewer and fewer words come out of our mouth that ought not. But we know we're going to offend in many ways. But there is this relationship that he presents here that is an interesting relationship. If he says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's able to bridle the whole body. You think about that. James is making the claim that if a person can at least grow, there is some link between a person's controlling of their tongue and the controlling of everything else. That's an amazing thought. There's a reason why we talk a lot about watching your mouth, about why parents need to address this with kids, why we as adults need to address it with ourselves. There is some link, and I can't explain it all, but James is presenting to us this idea. There is this link between our controlling our tongue and the rest will follow. Does that make sense? Do you see that in the text? If any man offends not in word, he is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Okay, you see that. Now let's go to verse 3 because he then gives illustrations of this. So what are the three illustrations that James uses to compare the tongue to? Okay, what's one? A bit and a horse's mouth. Anybody ever ride a horse? I've ridden quarter horses before. My grandparents had a quarter horse ranch for many years, and they raced quarter horses. And horses are, especially when you're this tall, horses are huge. Okay, and you get on a big old horse, and the thing that controls the direction is a bit. And if you know a bit, it's about, 4 or 5 inches long, maybe, 3/4 of an inch or an inch in diameter around, kind of a metal rod of sorts, and you stick it, and you want to stick it all the way back in the horse's mouth, as far as it'll go, and on each side are the, each side are where the reins are attached, and you pull one way or the other, but it's all just that bit. You put the bit in the horse's mouth, and you tug one way, and the horse's head will turn, and the body will turn. He's illustrating what he's just said in verse 2. If you control the horse's mouth or the head, the body will follow. Okay, what's the second illustration he says? Okay, a ship and a rudder. I've never owned a boat. I've been on a boat. Anybody own a boat before? I heard, Art, you talk about you were in the military, right, on a boat? Is that where you're what you're yeah. sharing? What were you sharing with your table about that?
I was on the aircraft carrier.
Whoa.
And a small rudder compared to the rest of the ship.
Yeah.
Guy you were on.
Yep.
And we had an incident underway, what they call underway replenishment at sea, where we were taking fuel from a tanker. We were going on a parallel course. And our tanker's rudder guts, it jammed. And there's a mechanic, this can be controlled mechanically, but it's 60 turns to a degree of rudder. And they couldn't get it back before the tanker came right into the side of us.
Huh.
Unfortunately, there was no fire or anything like that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of damage to both ships.
Yeah.
We had a, what they call an emergency breakaway, so we just went opposite ways and things were popping and
yeah.
all that stuff.
Wow.
It was amazing.
So you're on an aircraft carrier. How long, roughly, would you say an aircraft carrier?
Well, it's 3 football fields.
3 football, so 900.
An older one.
Okay, so about 900 or 1,000 feet or so.
Yeah, about 900 feet.
Do you have any idea how big the rudder was?
No.
No, but
it's quite a, it was probably 10,
yeah.
at least 10 feet.
Yeah, so comparatively speaking, pretty small. Again, but the same kind of picture, right? You have a huge aircraft carrier and a relatively small rudder, and you turn the rudder and the entire thing goes. And what's the third illustration here? Okay, a fire. Yeah. He said that in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. It's just one little spark, right? And the entire thing will go. James is making a point here, and he hints at it, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. He's making the comparison. A horse, large, with a very small bit. A ship, large thing, very small rudder. A forest fire, huge thing, just one little spark. And the tongue is just like it. Now, I don't know the dimensions, but, you know, our bodies are the size that we are. And our tongues, anybody know how long your tongue is? I have no idea. It's like 8 inches, maybe, if you go all the way back to where it connects. I have no clue. 8 inches, whatever.
It's just 2 inches in the front that does all the damage.
Right, that's right. That's right. But the point is this. Relatively speaking, our tongues are a very small part of our body, but it does great damage. And that's what James is communicating here. All right, let's go to verses 3 to 5. All right, we just did that. We said 3 to 5. Let's go to verse 6. What is James teaching about the power of the tongue from this verse? So verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Okay, what is James teaching about the power of the tongue there? Thoughts?
How our mouths and how we use our tongue affect other people, starting with the heart. And it could also be used for the glory of God or against the glory of God.
Okay, yeah, good. What else? Yeah, right.
When I think about fire, a fire does not stay small. It rages, and it takes down everything in its path.
Yep.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous. Good. Other thoughts here? What was verse 6?
Once it's out, very difficult to get it back
under control. Yeah. And it leaves damage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a bonfire here. What night was that we did that? Sometime in December, right? We had the bonfire out there. And if the snow was gone, you could still see the remnants of it. But the charredness of the ground and the wood and things, it leaves behind damage. And you can't take it back. Good. What else? Other thoughts there? Verse 6. What does James teach about the power of the tongue? Yeah, Laura?
I think our table was struck with just in this verse, the evilness that the tongue is in and of itself. There's
yeah.
no positive aspect in this verse of anything that the tongue can do.
Yeah, yeah. Do you notice how the verse ends? It's set on fire of hell. Now, really? what is James saying there?
It's inherently evil.
yeah, this is a wake-up call. When we use our tongues in a world that sets ablaze problems, that is devilish. It is hellish in nature. Someone's crockpot's done. Okay? That should be a wake-up call. Now, and that's why I say, what warning should we take from this? Okay, what'd you put there? What warning should we take from this? Yeah, Emmy? That's right. This is, the tongue is not something to just deal with lightly. And, you know, starting back with verse 1, this is why teachers have to be, very thoughtful about what they say. Teachers have to do this. Parents, we have to do this. Really, everyone has to do this. It's not just for those in authority. Everyone, we have to be mindful and aware of the fact it is so easy for us to use our tongues in a demonic way. We don't even think about it. And we don't think about it until when? Until after we say it. Unfortunately. Now, we're going to talk, as we go through the rest of the verses, we're going to see some things about that, just the incongruity of how we use our tongue. But even just these first six verses, hopefully you can say to yourself, this is a weighty issue. And even as you go home, you go to your respective homes and you interact with other people, you've got to be mindful of the things that come out of your mouth. It's important. God views it as important. Right? Other passages, Proverbs has lots of verses. Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No destructive speech. That's what we're good at, though. I mean, that's fun, we say. But rather, let your words be edifying. Build each other up with your words. All right, so let's take this. We'll come back next week, and we'll continue this discussion. Let's go ahead and stop this.